You're listening live to Right Side Radio with Phil Williams. It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right.
Alabama's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio. Phil Williams here live in the Right Side Studios, man. We got the local, the state, the national, covering down on all the issues. And like the dude just said, solid conservative and just plain right. Well, today would be Monday all day long. And Boomer's on the board. Hey, Bo.
It's Monday.
How's your Monday going so far?
It's a Monday.
It's Monday. All the equipment's working. Everything's fine. So
we are up and running today.
I probably
shouldn't
have said that.
I know. Cool. Way to go.
Yeah, thanks. Did y'all have a good Mother's Day weekend?
We did. How about y'all?
Yeah, we did. We just, you know, it was kind of like Saturday was Mother's Day for us. Mm-hmm. It was whatever Charlene wanted to do.
Ooh.
It was. Yes, honey, that was my day. Yes, honey, I'm proud.
And you're proud to do it.
And I was proud to do it.
And to all the mothers out there, thank you so much for all you do.
See, that's just good.
Yeah.
All right. Hey, and we got a great show laid on for you, by the way. You're going to want to stay tuned for every bit of it. So at 3:30 p.m. today, U.S. Senator Katie Britt calling into the show. Going to talk about her experiences on the southern border most recently, and then also perhaps touch base on a question of ESG getting more and more prolific in banking. So we'll talk about that. U.S. Senator Katie Britt calling in at 3:30, 4 o'clock. A longtime friend, Twinkle Kavanaugh, she's the president of the Alabama Public Service Commission. She's got a long history in state politics. She's been at the PSC now for a number of years. I found an article and I sent it to her and said, were you aware of this? Oh, she doesn't like it. She's going to talk about it with me, about whether or not ESG is getting into utilities so they can help raise our rates. 3:30 p.m., U.S. Senator Katie Britt, 4 p.m., Twinkle Kavanaugh, president of the Alabama Public Service Commission. And then there's still a triple dipper, so hit it.
The triple dipper. Three stories you've got to know.
That's right, the triple dipper, three stories, three themes, if you will, that you have got to know as we run today's show. Number one, out the gate, social upheaval. It's going to kind of tie into my monologue here in a minute, but isn't it amazing how there's a constant push, more of a push, to try and change the way our culture, our society perceives things? I mean, like, it's unbelievable. I told Charlene, it's kind of almost like it's rabid right now. We're going to talk about it. Cultural issues here. Social upheaval. That's number one on the triple dipper. Number two, border madness. So I love the fact that the Biden administration appears to be taking credit for the things that the Texas state government is doing. We'll talk about that in great detail. Also have a call with U.S. Senator Katie Britt. Border madness. What's the update since last week's revocation or withdrawal of Title 42? Yep, we'll talk about it. Number two on the triple dipper. And then number three, ESG in the power bill. So, you know, environmental, social, governance factors, that's that whole liberal push to make sure your corporations and everybody else in the world is really not just trying to make a profit. They're just doing all they can to make sure they're woke enough. And that's why you see Woca-Cola, and that's why you see, you know, the massive push for EVs and all of it. Climate change is the existential threat. Well, what I discovered most recently is there's been a push among some of the biggest stakeholders in the ESG push, not the least of which is BlackRock, to try and get hold of shares in utility companies. Why would they do that? Then they could drive their energy portfolio into alternative energy sources, which in turn is going to drive up our rates. So we'll talk about it. ESG in the power bill. That's number three on the triple dipper. Well, let me jump over here to my comments now. And I got to say, it's when you think about it, it can be funny how things change over time, right? I mean, funny, haha, sometimes funny, weird. I'm in my late 50s, so I've seen a few things morph, especially when it comes to high school. All right, so I can distinctly recall there being a smoking pit at my high school for students who smoked. Horrors. Can you imagine that now? No. I can remember when a guy wearing an earring would draw the ire of any adult in the room. In fact, I once had a football coach who realized that a guy that I knew had the telltale indentation of an ear piercing, called him up in front of the class. The coach took out his pocket knife in class and offered to remove the guy's earlobes to assist him in getting right. Can you imagine? I mean, today, if that were to happen, we find ourselves at a place in a society where 15 cell phones would have come out, recorded the event, the student's parents would have sued the school system, the kid would have claimed emotional distress and mental anguish, and the coach would have been terminated for threatening a child with a deadly weapon. That same football coach, by the way, he once had the entire team come in on a Saturday morning because, you know, coming back from the game on a Friday night, someone had cut some of the seats on the bus. I don't know how he got in touch with all of us in the days before cell phones and text messages, but we were all there early on Saturday morning running what the coach called safaris until we puked, and nobody that I can recall had a parent that called to complain. I can also distinctly remember guys coming to school straight from duck hunting early in the morning, putting their shotgun in the racks in the back window of their truck in the school parking lot. Nobody thought a thing of it. I had a history teacher that was a Civil War reenactor, probably reenacting on the southern side, if you know what I mean, who would bring his black powder rifle to school and he would fire a powder charge in the classroom for a demonstration. And listen, most of what I just described to you would likely not even be allowed in any school today. Smoking pits, shotguns, pocket knives, corporal punishment. Those things are mostly bygones, and yet we all grew up in them, and I'd like to say that we're largely okay. But there were also things that were not tolerated back then, not the least of which was any teacher ever allowing their personal life to become part of the classroom, especially if that involved any discussion about their relationships or, for that matter, their sex lives. I never once had a teacher. In all my 12 years of K through 12, I never once had a teacher that instructed me on anything to do with sexuality, much less to encourage any of us students to go find our true selves. I mean, that would have been grounds for dismissal, tenure or no tenure. And there was always that one teacher who seemed different or odd or somehow from a different life track than the bulk of the people that we knew in life. But back then, adults had a bright line between their personal and professional lives. Well, somewhere along the line, that bright line became less bright. The lines actually became blurred, and in far too many cases, the line has been completely erased. Erased to the point that too many adults feel that it is now their role in life to make sure that kids know every prurient aspect of their lifestyles. There have always been those who were untrustworthy. There have always been subcultures and private lifestyles that remain private. But in recent years, the movement has become almost rabid in an effort to ensure that no one can be required to keep any barriers, that no one is required to maintain any decorum, that every aspect of someone's lifestyle choices must be made known, must be accepted as their truth, and that children, must be subjected to it in order to ensure that they have some kind of early age acceptance. So when did this become okay? Well, the short answer, never. It is not okay to subject a child to some belief systems. It is not okay to subject a child to certain lifestyles. It is not okay to tell a child, in the absence of any legal authority otherwise, that their parents are wrong and they shouldn't be told anything that a non-parent does or says in the presence of the child. Meaning, hey, I'm your teacher and we keep secrets together from your parents. That's not okay. But here's the deal, though. It has become somewhat of an accepted norm in some places. And maybe accepted is too strong of a word, since we are seeing parents pushing back all over the nation. But how then, though, did this become something that we see happening far too often? In my opinion, it happened because we parents lacked situational awareness. Now, situational awareness is that sense of keeping your head on a swivel. It's being aware of your surroundings. It's being aware of what others around you are doing. At its lowest level, situational awareness is like having your eyes up and looking around as you walk through the Walmart parking lot at night, right? As opposed to having your head down, surfing your social media on your phone while you walk to your car. Criminals look for easy prey, and the potential victim who eyeballs them from 50 yards away is not near as attractive to a bad actor as the potential victim who has no clue what's going on. But the term situational awareness, generally speaking, it has its roots in the military vernacular. It's discussed in Sun Tzu's classic, The Art of War. It's also taught as a deliberate matter in law enforcement training, aviation, ship navigation, medical care, and more. It's the effort to understand your environment, how it changes, what factors are dangerous or not dangerous, and what those factors even mean, all so you can make critical decisions. I mean, get into the weeds, and situational awareness can come in levels like perception, comprehension, projection of solutions. But here's the deal. It's also scriptural. If you get down to it, it's scriptural. 1 Corinthians 16:13 admonishes men to be on the alert. There's your situational awareness. Be on the alert. Stand firm in the faith. Act like men. Be strong. Let all that you do be done in love. But as surely as the enemy on a military battlefield wants to catch us unaware, or as surely as the perpetrator hiding in the shadows in a dark parking lot wants to catch us with our eyes down, the progressive left wants us to pay no attention to their efforts to groom our children. And the only way that they can achieve that goal of co-opting our kids is if we as parents, grandparents, guardians, neighbors, or just plain citizens take our eyes off the prize. You see, a weak presence on the part of a potential victim can invite disaster. A weak defense on the battlefield invites attack. A weak level of situational awareness regarding our kids allows the opportunity to invite them into behaviors and mindsets and lifestyles and emotional states that the vast majority of parents would never want nor expect. So again, will there always be bad actors out there? Yes. And will there always be things that happen in the dark? Yes. But never let it be said that our children were subjected to that which we would never want for them simply because we were caught unawares, simply because we lacked situational awareness. So my friends, keep your heads on a swivel and your eyes on the prize. Act like men. Be strong. This is our children we're talking about. And that's a wrap for The Right Side Way. Well, I think if there's any one good thing that came out of COVID, it's that parents can say they finally caught hold of what's going on. Parents began to see things they weren't able to see before. But yeah, I'm telling you, we got to stay situationally aware. We can't let ourselves step back and assume things are just fine because back in our day, it was okay. It's not our day anymore. And these are our kids. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back. We are back, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right, making it cool to be a conservative. All right, so we got a ton of stuff laid on for you today, but just so you know, the text lines are indeed open. If you want to text on in or call on in for that matter, 833-687-4448 is the number. That's 833-68-RIGHT. If you text in for the very first time, you can just text the word right side to that number, and then it'll give you an automated message back, something like, you know, hey, you right side ruffian, welcome to the show, or something like that. And it'll ask you, tell us your first name. And that's why we've got so many folks out there. I mean, I can see right now text messages from Rayson from Hawaii, John from Huntsville, John from Brownsboro, Tony from Piedmont, Robin from Tupelo, Brian from Huntsville. It goes on down the line, man. Anyway, just jump on in where you can. Hang on. Quick, what show was that from? Do you know? You don't
know. No, I do not know. I was playing it back through in my head right after you said that because I wasn't really paying attention.
That was Andy Griffith.
I was going to say Judd, but like I couldn't think
what's
of the Andy Griffith show.
Paul Darling. Paul,
mm-hmm. Yeah, I was going to say Beverly Hill.
Close.
That's what I was going
to say. Had the same genre, yeah. But it was, yeah. Just jump on in where you can, Sheriff, and hang on. I don't know why I just went there. It just happened in my head. Sometimes things in my head come out of the microphone. All right, hey, listen, we got all kinds of stuff, though, too. One of the topics we're going to cover today is border madness. And you know what's interesting is I'm watching up on the screen, and I'm seeing that the discussion in the discussion in CNN right now is, oh, my goodness. Florida passed its own version of an immigration law. Well, that's because the federal government's doing squat right now. That's why. And then on top of that, there was discussion earlier that appeared to be taking credit for what the Texas state authorities are doing. Because, you know, the Texas National Guard and the Texas Department of Public Safety are all acting right now to the tune of almost 10,000 personnel, if I'm not mistaken, under orders from Texas Governor Greg Abbott, called it Operation Lone Star. They're protecting their border, and they are literally setting up concertina wire and barriers and standing there in riot gear, refusing to allow people to cross the river and come ashore on Texas soil. Well, it's ruffled some feathers. But you know what it's also done? It's lowered the number of people coming across the border. Go figure. What happens when you actually take an active stance to, I don't know, protect sovereign U.S. soil? And so right now what we're looking at is that Texas was expecting somewhere in the neighborhood of, you know, oh gosh, they had an overall expectation of like 10,000 or more, and it dropped to 6,200. The Biden administration had the gall, or maybe it was a CNN on their behalf, which is almost the same thing, to say that it appears that migrants are beginning to learn that they can't just come across when they want to because of the app that the Biden administration put together. Let me ask you a question, Boomer. I'm just coming at you with this. I mean,
come on.
You're tech savvy. You understand these things.
Yeah.
You know how to use apps and stuff. Is there a new app out there that's changing the way that immigration is happening?
Oh,
come on.
Boy.
You know.
Well, I didn't hear about it till this morning.
I just look at this and think.
I'm like, really? The app, you think they're really going to use this?
Are we sure that's what's slowing things down at the very least?
Exactly.
So, I mean, if that's the case, then we could have just designed a new app like 2 years ago, right?
Slow it down then.
Wow. Everybody get your smartphone out.
There's an app for that.
That's right. Here's the best border crossing for you. That's like, what is it, Waze?
Yeah. They're probably like, hey, just tell us where you're coming over. Just pin it on your app and then we'll know.
Hit the pin. Awesome.
And then I'm crossing here.
We'll be there with donuts and, you know, free lodging. Although we're seeing so many maddening things, and I'm getting way ahead of myself in the show, but so many maddening things, like right now, story out of New York City is that there's a hotel that had disabled veterans living in it, and the disabled veterans are being required to leave so that illegal aliens could come in and have lodging. So let me get this straight. Disabled / veteran / U.S. citizen somehow ranks higher for safe and secure lodging or does not rank higher than illegal immigration. That's where we are right now. U.S. Senator Katie Britt will be on here early. You may recall I played a clip from a press conference she did last Thursday, and I played the clip on Friday, and it was fire, man. I mean, she was spot on, so I expect her to pretty much have the same attitude when she comes on today at 3:30 to tell us, you know, her thoughts from the D.C. perspective. Our U.S. delegation, with the exception of Democrat Terry Sewell, has been pretty spot on. So we'll see where it goes. But in the meantime, I do know this. The southern border, it is not where it needs to be, even to the point that we may just be going ahead and officially saying we've lost control. All right, folks. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back. Hey, all you Right Side ruffians out there, you are listening to Right Side Radio, solid conservative, just plain right. And we are back, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative, and just plain right. Covering down on some major ground across the northern half of the most beautiful state in the nation, that would be Alabama. I mean, this show sends its signal way on down south of Birmingham, up north of Huntsville, Tuscaloosa, back to Gadsden, parts of Georgia, Tennessee, Mississippi, thrown in just for good measure. All right, text lines are open, 833-687-4326. 833-688-4448. That's 833-68-RIGHT. I see some of y'all are already like neck deep in the texting. So I knew somebody would remind me. Jerry from Meridianville. It's Briscoe Darling. Yeah, got time to breathe. You got time for music. That's right. Thank you for that. You're exactly right. John from Huntsville. Okay, John, I guess you guys were texting back and forth. Yeah. No participation trophies. No.
I said, like, because I lost. Oh, I lost the NBA bracket.
Oh, did
and
you?
So he said he had a gift that was going to be if I won. He said, do you still want it? And I said, no, I don't take participation trophies.
Did you say thank you first, Boomer?
I did say thank you. Okay. I said congratulations to him. So he won. So he deserves a congratulations.
Awesome. Oh, did he win?
Well, he won against me. I don't know about
him. Gotcha. That's a win. All right.
That's a win.
Yeah. JT from Lacey Springs says the app, which we talked about a minute ago, the application of Texas taking positive action to secure the border. That's exactly right. There's an app. Yeah, the pure application of action. Thank you very much. Jeff from Hazel Green again, talking about things. Everybody's, now that I've brought up Briscoe Darling, Mr. Darling, you know, by the way, that was, so my lovely Charlene said for years, the only other Charlene she knew of in the whole world was Charlene Darling, who came down out of the hills once in a while on Andy Griffith. But Jeff from Hazel Green says, I don't know who he's talking about, but Jed Clampett on the Beverly Hillbillies, Jed Clampett says, they're lower than a tick on a snake's belly crawling in a wagon wheel rut. That's about as low as you can get right there, I guess. I don't know why he brought that up, but I'm just reading it. Here it is. Shane from Athens, the APP, Americans Protecting Property. Okay. All right. Thank you, Shane. Appreciate you. And then we got a brand new texter. Did you already see it, Boomer? Susan. Susan from Holly Pond. Holly Pond. There you go. Over yonder towards Coleman. That's a beautiful little community, by the way. I used to always go. There's a place there. Trying to think what the name of it. Shaw's? Was it Shaw's? A catfish place that you could go eat there. People drove in from all over the place. We used to, like, meet family there halfway and stuff. And it had a stream that ran through the inside of the building. And so you'd sit there, and there's fish swimming through the building while you ate fish. A little morbid, but okay. It was cool, though. In fact, Susan from Holly Pond, I bet she knows exactly what place I'm talking about. All right, so number one of the triple dipper here, social upheaval. Let's take a look at this for a second. I don't know if you saw it or not. This past weekend, Governor Ron DeSantis was like all over Iowa, which, you know, in political circles is like the bellwether state for getting out there and, you know, sort of announcing to the world you're running for office. So right now, Ron DeSantis has done everything to run for president except say he's running for president. He has now been to Iowa, did three separate appearances in one day, two major rallies, and then one tour of a restaurant where people were gathered. It's kind of one of those places you have to go. It's that barbecue place that every candidate shows up at. And then, I'm sorry, I was trying to talk to Boomer at the same time. It's amazing how much we can do at one time. I'm reading, I'm texting, I'm looking at the computer, and I'm talking to you. But anyway, Ron DeSantis all over the place. It was kind of funny because Trump was supposed to have a major rally that night, but Trump actually called his rally off, which has that ever happened before? Trump called off his rally and allegedly, and I'm not going to question it too deeply, because there were threats of inclement weather, like maybe it was an outdoor rally, I don't know. But he said there were threats of tornadoes and all that. DeSantis went ahead and had his second rally and nobody questioned it because I don't think the weather was that bad, at least where he was. And then, wow. But when he gave his speech, as well you might imagine, Ron DeSantis talked at length about woke ideology and how what we're seeing right now is an absolute war on truth. It's a war on truth, which he responds to by saying we must have a war on woke. And so the Daily Caller Saturday came out with this, recounting of his day in Iowa. Says, wage a war on woke, DeSantis touts the culture war battles in key primary state ahead of his anticipated presidential run. His quote, he says, I believe the truth will set us free. Now, this advent of woke ideology really represents a challenge to this. I think it's a war on truth. And because it's a war on truth, we must wage a war on woke. And he went on to talk about things like it's wrong for a teacher to instruct a student that they're born in the wrong body or gender is a choice. He talked about his war with Disney. He talked about things like, you know, getting out there and saying that, and here's his quote, it's wrong for a swimmer to compete for 3 years on the men's team and then switch to the women's team and then win the women's national championship. He said, I'm sorry, that's a fraud. And they're trying to perpetrate on it. And we should not accept that. Here's the thing. Number one of the triple dipper is social upheaval. There is an effort, and I talked about it in my monologue, there is an effort to continually hammer away until they sort of chip away at the social norms. And by the way, I am thoroughly aware that there are some things that will change with time. Fashions, I get it. I put away the bell bottoms years ago. I don't care if I ever wear a leisure suit again. Yes, I had one in the 70s. The tail fins are not going to come back on cars for the most part. You're going to see things that are going to go away with fashion trends. You're going to see things that are going to go away with, you know, choices in how to do your house. What style are you going to build with? Do we have front porches or no front porches? What color brick do we use? What are the typical colors on a wall? Do you have open floor plans or not? All these things change over time. You're going to have scientific changes. Do we expect that we could ever put a man on the moon? Is the moon achievable? We made it to the moon. What about GPS technology revolutionizing our ability to know where we are in the world? How about everybody having a cell phone in their pocket when it used to be a dial phone sitting on the desk with a long cord? All these things change, but things that don't change are principles. Things that don't change are things that we call truths, actual truths, truths that are actually true. Like, for instance, there's two genders. Well, what we're seeing right now is a constant stream of an assault on actual truth. I think Ron DeSantis nailed it when he said that. I think he nailed it. There is a war on truth, which means that we have to then in turn have a war on woke. And that's where we are, folks. It's not just enough to have that situational awareness, which is so important that I talked about in my monologue. We've got to have that. But we've also got to follow that up with the willingness to commit action. So when you see it, it's not enough just to see it. You have to see it and be willing to address it. That's why I constantly encourage on this show, it is not, like for instance, let's take kids. You do not have to have kids in the school system to care about what happens in the school system. You don't. It's your community. That alone should be enough because you know what truth is. And there are certain truths that cannot change. The sun comes up, the sun goes down. Truth. How long is it going to be? Do they tell us that it's all about all day? It's all day. I mean, that's what we're looking at, right? There's only two genders. No, there's not. There's 98 genders. Gender fluidity. You can go back and forth and be that which you want to be today. How do you identify? The assault on truth is a social upheaval, and they're being allowed to perpetrate it. It's even to the point now that it's dividing our churches, the places where truth is supposed to be the principal position upon which they stand, the unerring word of God, the authenticity of God, the ability to know that there are certain things, like when you walk through the doors of your church, you can expect consistency. No, they don't want that now. Story on 1819 News. In Alabama alone, upwards of 500 United Methodist churches have now left the United Methodist denomination. I don't know if you've heard this, Boomer, or not, but the United Methodist Church is going through what some are calling a schism. I mean, they're literally breaking down. Yeah. They're saying it's not as bad as they thought it was going to be. I mean, I've got two articles here on it, one from 1819 talking just about Alabama. The other is from a national perspective. Christianity Today magazine has their piece on it. Christianity Today says, not as big as we thought it was going to be, basically. 6.4 million U.S. members, 13 million worldwide, that, you know, a true schism would be like 50%, and we're not even there. We're looking at about 6.5%. Okay. The fact that we've got that large a percentage, and I think it's probably larger than that over time, it will be, I think we're looking at something much bigger. In fact, the article that says, it's only about 6.5%, that came out in January. And that came out in January, noting for a fact that the states in which more of it's happening are Texas, North Carolina, Alabama, and Indiana. And they talk about the fact that you know, it's a social cultural thing. Well, they point out very clearly, though, that the biggest argument is on the question of the LGBTQ agenda in church. There should be no LGBTQ agenda in church. You can love the person without adopting the behaviors. Boomer's waving his hands and agreeing with me. You can.
Oh, absolutely.
I mean, it's amazing to me. It's like saying, we love the alcoholic and we're all going to drink with you now. It's
bring it on in. Yeah, exactly.
Exactly. Nearly 150 Methodist congregations in North Alabama chose to disaffiliate on Thursday of last week. Last week, 150 churches. There's one right down the road from our house, a little country church. It's a beautiful little white church. It looks like a postcard. And it's been a United Methodist church for over 100 years, I believe. And it just changed the sign out front for the first time in 100 years. Nearly 150 Methodist congregations in North Alabama chose to disaffiliate with the United Methodist Church on Thursday, just 4 days after almost 200 churches in the southern half of the state left. That's 350 churches in Alabama leaving the denomination in 1 week. So as we look at this, it points out that this is just the second wave of disaffiliations. That in the United Methodist Church congregation, they've been dealing with this for a while. They began ordaining women, which was an issue. They supported federal gun controls, which was an issue. They also began to be a part of what was known as the Pro-Abortion Religious Coalition, although they finally withdrew from that just a few years ago. And while they officially condemn homosexuality and don't allow same-sex weddings, they are, you know, very, if you will, just soft on it. They don't want to deal with it. And folks, the church has got to step up. And I guess when I say that, I recognize that just in Alabama alone, 350 churches stepped up and said, we're not going down that road. That's social upheaval. That's not what we stand for. That is not truth. And therefore, we're stepping out at great risk to themselves because they're required now to do things like they have to pay to retain the church property in which they meet. They have to pay into the church retirement plans as they exit. They have to do all. It's not an easy thing. This is not a matter of signing a piece of paper and stepping away and putting a different sign out front. You've got churches that are having to step up and not only disaffiliate with their longtime denomination on the basis of social upheaval, but they're having to put their wallets where it is. They're having to put their reputations where it is. They're having to put their traditions where it is. And it's scary. And if you've ever been a part of a church that went through a split, it can be scary. But I'm just telling you, the church has got to take a stand. All right, we'll take a break right now. We come back from that, though. I'll tell you about some other stuff not necessarily related to faith-based issues, like did you know that white supremacy is the most dangerous thing facing America today? Did you know that? I didn't know that. I'm just a cis white male. What do I know? Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. Social upheaval. We'll talk about it. Be right back. We are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid, conservative, and just plain right. Saving the world one soundbite at a time. Hey, listen, we bring you all the news here, local, state, national, sometimes international, like I always say. Breaking news right now, and I'll probably get into it a little bit more after I had a chance to look at it during the next break. But the Durham report, you know, remember that John Durham was appointed as a special investigator on the question of how the whole Trump-Russia collusion investigation went down and what occurred. And he has now come out with a report. And what we're looking at, breaking news, I mean, literally right now, breaking news, is that the Durham report concludes the FBI used an uncorroborated intel, said that they did not properly analyze information they had at hand. And in, and I believe it even says in the report that that whole narrative should have never been allowed to be, you know, brought out because it was absolutely not ripe for investigation. It's antithetical to common sense that the FBI should be out there making claims against the President of the United States using what a long-term investigation proves now was uncorroborated intelligence. All that basically means is they had a narrative and what they had in their hands fit, and so they went with it. That's unbelievable. All right. I'll get more on that during the break, see if I can touch base on it when we get back. Coming back right now on the social upheaval piece, let me just say, in case you didn't know, Boomer, I kind of gave it away, but are you aware of what the most dangerous threat to society is right now?
The most dangerous?
It's an existential threat, man.
Oh, my goodness.
I mean,
is this white males?
Yes. You and I are apparently straight. Well, it's actually white supremacy.
Oh, so, that's okay.
Yeah. But according to some, the very fact that you and I are cis white males is somehow making us a threat. But nonetheless, so Joe Biden gave a speech this past weekend. It was one of those things where you look at it and you thought, is anybody advising him on what may be considered a bad idea? But, you know, he's the king panderer. And so he went to Howard University, historically black college, and in his commencement address, he said the most dangerous threat, most dangerous terrorist threat, he says, to our homeland is white supremacy. Huh. Okay. And then he goes on to say, because you know he does this, whenever he makes a point, he always say, that's no joke, or I'm not kidding. Or he'll come back and say, And the reason I say that is because he goes back and goes, I'm not saying this because I'm out of black, historically black college. Okay. That's a dead giveaway. That's exactly why he's doing it. I'm not saying this because I'm at a historically black college. I say it wherever I go. No, you don't. And then he went on to invoke January 6th. And then he went on. So bottom line is this. In the eyes of the leader of the free world, the question is not China. It's not the sovereignty of our southern border. It's not an issue of economics or whether or not the inflation is crushing the average citizen and, you know, making it difficult for households to support themselves. The question is whether or not we live in a systemically racist society. And that social upheaval that he's causing, are there racists in the world? Yes, there are. I know that. Are there people who will do bad things based upon a purely racist mindset? Yes. Is it systemic? No. No. Is white supremacy the greatest threat to America? No. In fact, this sounds like jackassery. I'm pretty sure, Boomer, if you would, just hit me some jackassery. There you go. Folks, social upheaval. This is why I said earlier, I didn't even get to all my stuff on this, but this is why I say earlier that we have to keep our eyes on the prize. We have to stay situationally aware, because they will hammer these narratives and they will go down these roads trying to chink away at the mindset that what is truth is not true anymore. And folks, I'm telling you, this is not a systemically racist nation. There are two genders. We are allowed to have an opinion. And oh, by the way, truth is still truth, and you can't change truth. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, hour number one in the can. We will be right back.
Listening live to Right Side Radio with Phil Williams. It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right.
Alabama's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio. Phil Williams here live in the Right Side Studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national, covering down on all the issues. And like the dude just said, solid conservative and just plain right. Well, I'm going to jump over real quick to tell you there's been breaking news right for the top of the hour. I mean, literally, I looked up at the screens on the wall. It's still up right now. Breaking news, both CNN and Fox are covering it on the two screens we have on the wall here. Special Counsel John Durham has concluded his report, a 300-page report issued just a little while ago. The investigation was on Operation Crossfire Hurricane, which was the original investigation as to whether or not Trump had ever colluded with Russia to impact our election systems. And I'm going to tell you, this is a big deal. It's breaking right now that Durham has concluded, his report has concluded, that the FBI never should have even launched the full Trump-Russia probe because they did so using raw, what he calls raw and unanalyzed data, meaning they're investigating the President of the United States on things that were paid for. I mean, now we have an official special investigator's report that specifies that the FBI, in his words, failed to uphold their mission of strict fidelity to the law. They went after things that no one should have ever gone after because it was so obvious they were tainted. There was questionable evidence. There was evidence that was non-evidence. And there were sourcings that were directly tied to the political opposition of Donald Trump. So in a 300-page report, they say, we conclude that the department and the FBI failed to uphold their mission of strict fidelity to the law in connection with certain events and activities described herein. And they went on to say that it triggered and sustained Crossfire Hurricane and contributed to the subsequent need for Special Counsel Mueller's investigation. In particular, there was significant reliance on investigative leads provided or funded directly or indirectly by Trump's political opponents. And the department did not adequately examine or question these materials and the motivations of those providing them, even when at the same time, the director of the FBI and others learned of significant or potentially contrary intelligence. In other words, they did nothing to give this thing an objective view. That's a developing story. We'll be covering that probably more tomorrow, but if things break more today, I'll let you know. In the meantime, all the news sites out there are jumping on the fact that John Durham has come out with a report. All right, we just kind of wrapped up the social upheaval dipper, but I have a caller on the line, so let me jump on that real quick. Is that line one, Sparky from Harvest? How you doing, Spark?
Hey, Phil and Boomer, great show. I was listening to your last few segments, and you're going to laugh, but I hearken back to the late 60s. There was a famous movie poster and a very provocative movie called Bob, Carol, Ted, and Alice, and it was about suburban couples swinging and flopping, whatever. But substitute the faces on all those four people in bed together with the White House, the mainstream media, the FBI, and the DOJ.
Wow.
They are so in bed together that then the United States citizens see it for what it is. Even the far-left socialist Democrats, exactly, they know that Joe Biden is never going to be prosecuted for egregious treasonous crimes. They know that Hillary Clinton and her people were behind the false narrative and the ridiculous 5 years of investigations. Well, how many now? Is it 10 years of investigations against Donald Trump?
Pretty much.
But they know that the far left is never going to be prosecuted, and it's not even a question of, well, there's two systems of justice in this country. There's a trickle-down effect when people lose faith in justice. At the very top of organizations like that, there will be no justice anywhere. And it's kind of chilling to me.
It's very chilling, and I look at the depth and the level to which they went on that Crossfire Hurricane investigation, just determined to show that there was collusion, Russia. When the reality is, we're now seeing the official record saying what we've always known all along. Like you said, they're just flat in bed together, and that is so disheartening. I think the only thing that I find heartening out of it, even though it took too long to get there, is that we're getting the official record, evidentiary record, indicating how far afield they went. And hopefully we can begin to see some systemic change out of some of that.
Well, and I, you know what's funny is there's people in this great town and the great organization, the great institution that's the FBI, with an ever-expanding footprint in this community. I've made some friends with some FBI field agent, cybersecurity people, great people. And I invite them to call in unless they're fearful for their life, to say, hey, we're doing our job. We're doing a great job. We're proud of the job we do. But these crooks at the top, these crooks who are in the middle of these horrible schemes with the far left socialist Democrats, that ain't us. And I'd love to hear from them.
Well, I agree with you, and I've known some great rank and file members of federal law enforcement, and they're good ones. I mean, they're the kind of folks you want to go to war with, but the yes. Political appointees and the upper level bureaucrats, and I was talking to Charlene this past weekend. What is it about the upper levels of the FBI that wants to be against conservatism? I cannot imagine, because you would think they'd almost feel empowered by having a Ronald Reagan style, conservative, forthright, America first policy. But it's like they lean against that. I can't figure that out.
Well, I think it's about the enticement and the power and the money. Just think of what was going to happen with James Comey when Hillary was going to be elected, and she was going to be elected, and he was active in all this, trying to destroy her political appointment, and look how bad it blew up in his face. When the unexpected happened, the American people showed up and voted against Hillary. I won't say, like me, they weren't really voting for time. They were voting against Hillary. But I suppose it could happen again. But power is seductive, and money is seductive, and that's how it's set.
Well, it is. But I take heart at who the rank and file are. Let's like you and I talk about the military several times here on the show. I take heart knowing who the rank and file are. Everybody is not Secretary of Defense Lloyd Austin. There's good troops in the rank and file. Officers and enlisted. Right. The same would be true with the FBI and the DEA and others.
Yes. All right. Great show.
All thanks. Right, brother. We'll see you, man. Have a good one.
Okay. Bye.
I'll be honest with you. I've got a whole nother dipper. I was about to start. I haven't even touched it yet, Boomer. This is one of those shows that's taking on a life of its own. I can already tell. But I love that. I mean, it just the text lines are up. Brian from Huntsville's already in there. I see you, Brian. Let me see if I can get my text line. Well, now that it's trying to refresh, I can't read it, so I don't know what Brian from Huntsville said. I assume he said something nice. He says, he's talking about the FBI raids. This just means the FBI raids John Durham at 3 a.m. next week. let's hope not. Tim from Mount Hebron says, Biden says white supremacy is the biggest threat. Did you hear the crowd he was speaking to clapping and cheering? The crowd believes him. That was disheartening, but I think he was pandering. Once again, I think he was pandering to a crowd that he expected to like that. Mike from Huntsville texted in, and all he says is, Boomer, is the text line just like, is yours refreshing well today? I want to read one, and it goes, okay. $100 million, I don't know what he's asking me. Okay, Mike, you're quoting figures. I'm not sure where we're headed here. He says the DOJ is the Department of Just Us. They are Bolsheviks, Phil. Okay. All right. I'm not sure what the rest of it is, though, man. Something about lots of money. I don't know what he's saying. All right. Listen, we're going to wind up taking a break right now, taking a minute early so I can do a little more justice to the next dipper, because the next dipper, Border Madness, talking about the updates to the southern border issues. We're going to go right into a conversation at the bottom of the half hour with U.S. Senator Katie Britt calling in. So y'all stay tuned. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. We'll be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid and conservative and just plain right. So, yeah, number two on the Triple Dipper, Border Madness. Coming up here in a few minutes, you're going to want to stay tuned because right after the half-hour break, we'll come back and U.S. Senator Katie Britt will be on the line with us talking about the southern border. So several things to kind of cover and lead into that. Number one, there have been a couple of things that have happened that have, in my opinion, they are the reasons why the southern border did not go as crazy this past weekend as everybody feared it would. I mean, leading up to it, the weekend, we were seeing record-setting levels of crossings at the southern border, over 10,000 a day, 10,000. Can you imagine what that means? If that continued on, that trend happened, then we're looking at 10,000 times 365, that's 3.6 million something. That's on track to be beyond just illegals crossing the border. That's a mass migration. That is literally an invasion. All right, that being said, a couple of things happened last week that were extremely significant. Number one, the Texas state government took action. Governor Abbott, good on him. He formed what he called his Texas Tactical Border Force. It's a combination under Operation Lone Star. It's a combination of his Department of Public Safety, state troopers, and his state National Guard. They literally went out there on the border and began setting up concertina, you know, razor wire, the coiled razor wire, concertina wire, putting barriers in place and posting National Guard troops in riot gear who would stand there and not let people cross over. And it came in thousands. Boomer's giving me the, yeah.
I'm giving you the, yeah, way to go, guys.
That's right. Fist in the air, yeah. But what it basically had the effect of was it lowered the number who were coming into Texas, Texas being a huge swath of the 3,000-mile border. Okay, there's that. That had a chilling effect on some of those illegals trying to cross over in the Texas regions. The other thing that happened was the Biden administration got caught. They got caught with a secret memo that had been sent out, and it was discovered by the Florida Attorney General as they were going through a number of documents they had sent a FOIA request in on. And this memo to field agents in the Customs and Border Patrol told them explicitly, when you reach capacity on your shelters, which is like they're there right now, just begin doing mass releases. It waived the need for processing. It waived the need for setting up the notional court date to which they will turn. It waived the need to document who they were in great detail. It just said, and they called them street releases, just releasing them in the streets. Just let them go. Just say, here you are. Here's a sandwich. Have a good day. And those two things right there, let me go back up. The court in Florida heard the arguments made by the Attorney General of Florida and enjoined that practice and said that the federal government cannot do that. And it wasn't just for a Florida court system, Florida-specific jurisdiction. It was for a nationwide ban or a freeze or an injunction. Those two things, Texas government, Florida court, had a massive impact, like such that something like two-thirds, not quite two-thirds, a little over, about a third or more of the expected rush for the weekend slowed down. Does not mean things are great. Not at all. Not at all. In fact, I've got a story here on justthenews.com. Came out last Thursday. Last Thursday, it says, with just two words, the top uniformed officer, by the way, Border Patrol Chief Raul Ortiz, he's not playing. I follow him on social media. He puts out the stats like you wouldn't believe. He is not afraid to point out what's happening on their southern border. It says, the top uniformed officer in the Customs and Border Protection Agency sent shockwaves across Washington, D.C. a couple of months ago when he was asked whether his agency has operational control of the southern U.S. border. No, sir, he said to Congress. And the Biden administration did not appreciate it. Well, that was back when they were at 5,000 a day. This past week, they were hitting 10,000 plus a day in illegal crossings. Can you imagine? I mean, the sheer volume of humanity coming across our southern border without any. And by the way, it's a complete lack of respect. They're bum rushing. It's as if, and in fact, I wrote a piece that came out today. 1819's got it up right now. It's called "Protect This House," and I took it off of one of the monologues that I'd done last week, with the notion being that what if you had just finally built your dream house, and you're growing tomatoes in the garden, and you've got, you know, your kitchen is all set up the way you wanted it, and you love living there, and you've been very generous to share it with other people, and then you come home and find out that 100 people plus that you don't even know who they are just showed up in your house, and they're eating your food and wearing your clothes and using your facilities and arguing over your TV remote and picking tomatoes off the vines in your garden, and they're basically trampling your house, and you don't even know who these people are. And they look at you once in a while with blank stares like, why would you question this? That's where we are right now on the southern border. There's a bum rush for our border, and it has a complete lack of respect attached to it. It's as if they could care less that it's our house. And we've been extremely generous. We have not been, you know, beating people up. We've been the most generous country in the history of the world, to include many of the nations from which these people are coming. And yet they are rushing our border with the full expectation that they will get in and they will make use of whatever they want to make use of, and we're just required to think that's okay. Story here on Fox News. This one came out Friday afternoon, Texas sends migrants to the Naval Observatory near the Vice President Harris's home once again. So the VP lives in what's known as the Naval Observatory. And that's where the Vice President lives. Obviously, it's number one observatory circle. And once again, Governor Abbott's making a name for himself as a guy who's not afraid to poke the bear. But Governor Abbott says, not only are they sending them, he says there will be more coming to New York, to Philadelphia, to Chicago, and other places around the country, he says. Meanwhile, Mark Green, Republican Representative Mark Green, chairman of the Homeland Security Committee, he slammed Secretary of Homeland Security, Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas. This happened Thursday also, during an interview in which Mayorkas claimed that the number of illegal border crossings have plummeted in recent days. No, they haven't. Last week, we set a record. Well, his remarks were on CNN's State of the Union, and they weren't really questioned. Never mind the fact that we saw 83,000 crossings last week. 83,000 illegal crossings last week. And Mark Green says, Congressman Mark Green says, what the secretary failed to say is that this week has seen more crossings than at any time any week in our history. And there was some anticipation, and so people started coming across in higher numbers. In the latter part of the week, a judge ruled and slowed things down. But they can't claim credit for that. In fact, the Biden administration is fighting that ruling because they want it gone so they can just release them in the streets. Unbelievable. U.S. Senator, Alabama's U.S. Senator Katie Britt calling in momentarily to talk about it. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative, just plain right, covering down on some major ground across the northern half of the most beautiful state in the nation. That would be Alabama. I'm talking about this show sends its signal way on down south of Birmingham, up north of Huntsville, Tuscaloosa, back to Gadsden, parts of Georgia, Tennessee, Mississippi, thrown in just for good measure. Well, welcome back. We are at the bottom half of the 3 o'clock hour, and we've been talking for the last few minutes about number two on the triple dipper, the border madness and the things that are happening at our southern border, which you have to look at and go, do we even have a border right now? Well, we know we do in Texas because what they've been doing the last few days has been pretty epic. But I'll tell you, our own U.S. delegation has been very outspoken on this, with the exception of our one Democrat, Terry Sewell. But the voice that may be the loudest in our entire delegation right now has been our U.S. Senator, Katie Britt, who I found a video of a press conference she did last week, aired part of it on Friday. And I thought, man, I just got to see if she can come on the show. So without further ado, I am proud to bring on once again U.S. Senator Katie Britt. How are you doing, Senator?
I'm doing well, Phil. Thank you so much for having me on, and thank you for covering this important issue. I don't think it is obviously getting enough attention in the mainstream media, but are we surprised? No. And I think we've got to continue to talk about it, talk loud, and really demand solutions from the Biden administration.
Well, I agree. In fact, it's a little galling. It appears the Biden administration is, on the one hand, fighting back against the most recent court ruling that enjoined their ability to just do street releases, while at the same time claiming credit for the numbers going down the last couple of days because of the injunction by the court. But Senator, you've been down there multiple times. In fact, one of the things that really struck me was you opened up that press conference last week by talking about how many times you've been down there and how few times the president has been down there.
That's right, Phil. Look, this is and must be a top priority for our nation's leaders. We have to seal and secure the border, and I believe that unless you go and you see it and you ask for the real unvarnished truth from our courageous Border Patrol agents, from the people that are actually dealing with this every single day, then we can't do our job. So I actually went the first 2 months, I went three different times, which is in stark contrast to our president, who in 2 years has only gone for 3 hours. And he did not ask for the real unvarnished truth. He actually got a cleaned up version of what was happening. I will tell you, when you see the men and women on the front lines that are working to keep our border safe and therefore the American people safe, you know that we are dealing with a humanitarian and a national security crisis that we have never before seen. You know that we have to finish building the wall. We have to make sure that we are putting up the proper structures, using the proper technology to drive these people to our ports of entry, which they refuse to do. And in fact, Phil, when I was down there, I saw pieces of the wall laying on the ground. We were told in other places by the courageous men and women there in Texas that they actually had asked if they could purchase the walls that he was storing places, paying to store, by the way, the Biden administration, that they could purchase them back from the government and put them up themselves. And the Biden administration said no. So these are border wall pieces that we have paid for to keep our country safe. And Biden is prioritizing, once again, other people before he is the American citizens.
Well, and I agree with you completely. And I think that's been one of the most unsung pieces of this is the fact that the border wall construction, all the materials that were already paid for by the U.S. Citizens laying there in the dirt. But the other thing that really struck me was, you know, the question of state sovereignty. At times, there will be a 10th Amendment call by a state to have to do what the federal government will not or cannot. And we're watching places like Texas and Arizona doing things like putting up their own border wall and taking action like Governor Abbott's been doing with his Operation Lone Star. And then they get called out by the federal government for doing what the federal government will not. That's amazing to me.
Hey, and Phil, let me tell you, Operation Lone Star, I have talked to those men and women firsthand, and what they're doing is truly incredible. So we have 2,000 miles of the border between the United States and Mexico. Now, 1,200 of those miles are in Texas. Now, I have been to two different places in Texas. I have yet to have the opportunity to be on the ground in Arizona, but have been in California. The stark contrast between the way that California handles this versus Texas, it is night and day. So here you have Governor Abbott. Right, Governor Abbott is working. He is using cargo containers to try to build his own wall. His sheriffs, you know, obviously each county kind of handles it a little bit differently, but he has his patrol. He has the Texas Department of Public Safety, his National Guard, all working hand in glove to protect his people. And then you go to California, and their law enforcement officers are actually penalized and could be pursued criminally if they are seen as interfering or participating in anything that has a nexus to someone crossing the border. So you want to know why all of that fentanyl is coming across the border in a legal port of entry there in San Diego? It is because California has tied the hands of its law enforcement officers. I really believe that. We have to do more, and I think Governor Abbott and Texas are setting the bar, and that's what we should be doing all the way across the border.
Well, and what you just described is how important good leadership is. I mean, you literally just described two states with the same problem on the border of the same country, and both of them handling it completely differently. And it's a issue of leadership, which we are also seeing a crisis of leadership right now in D.C. on this very issue. To me, leadership winds up transcending all of it. You could take the same situation and have a different result if you have the right leadership in place.
That's right. And you know, you have nailed it. And let's talk about Mayorkas, because you just used the word crisis. When I had him in front of the Homeland Security Subcommittee for Appropriations, and I want you to watch this exchange, I asked him if we had a crisis on our southern border. Now, you and I both know we do. We have had over 6 million people, 6.3 million people come across our border since Joe Biden has taken office. So 5 million of those have come through ports of entry, 1.3 million of those have been gotaways, and that is prior to the end of Title 42. And when I ask him, do we have a crisis, talking about the number of people, talking about the human trafficking, because, Phil, I have talked to these men and women, they owe the drug cartels more money. The drug cartels know exactly where they're going. They have to continue to pay them. They are not living the American dream. They become indentured servants, and criminals in Mexico are getting rich over it. When you look at the fentanyl, it is the leading cause of death between the ages of 18 and 45 in this nation. And we have a crisis. It is affecting every community, every school. You can keep going. We can talk about the number of terrorists coming over our border, which we had 100 known terrorists that were caught at the border last fiscal year alone. And Mayorkas would not call it a crisis. I then went through every single place in the entire president's budget where they called it a crisis. They call it, we have a crisis of missing indigenous people. We have a crisis of pedestrian safety. We have a climate crisis, and so on and so on. And I told him, look, my point is not to undermine the seriousness of any of these issues. My point is to say, when President Biden thinks that there is a crisis, he is willing to call it. But the truth is, he is allowing Americans to be treated as second-class citizens, and he is putting the security and the strength of our communities at risk each and every day that he doesn't go do his job and secure the border.
Well, it's amazing, too. And it's almost like an arrogance attached to it. And it's so frustrating to watch. And, of course, you're right there in the thick of things, having him in front of your subcommittee. And I got to ask, and it may not be a question you can even answer, but I hear the word impeachment used several times, and more often than not, it's tied to Mayorkas. So do we see anything here that says there will be some measure of full accountability, even to the point of articles of impeachment that have an opportunity to move and be considered? I mean, what are your thoughts on that? Is that even out there?
You know, I know that we have definitely heard rumblings of that, particularly several months ago. I am sure as Title 42 and the expiration of that and the remainder of this plays out, you will hear that continue again. As you well know, obviously, that would start in the House, and then it would be our job here on the Senate to adjudicate that. I will say people want more. People want true leadership, and they are not seeing it from Mayorkas, and they are not seeing it from President Biden. I want to make sure that your listeners understand how intentional this is. You know, Secretary Mayorkas got out on his press conference the other day and said, oh, you know, Congress just hasn't properly funded this. And that could not be further from the truth. And if you look at the timeline. So January 26th, they come out, President Biden says, we're ending the national health emergency, and Title 42 will expire on May 11th. He then comes out with his own budget on March 9th, where the only agency department to get the decrease was the Department of Homeland Security.
Yeah.
And I want to make sure your listeners know that is not just the border. That's TSA. That's Coast Guard. That's FEMA. That's everything to do with keeping Americans safe. And I think that is in and of itself. We got a 1% decrease, where there he increased EPA 19%. So there's one thing, if we're working hard to figure out how are we going to streamline the budget, which we must do, it's another thing when you're increasing EPA 19%. And I think Americans have to say enough is enough. Stop putting our safety and security behind all of your left-wing policies and agenda.
Oh, well, so perfectly said. And the reality is it is intentional. You used the word early in that part of your discussion. It is intentional. There's no way that this is just now a we don't want to be Trump type movement. This is not just a somewhat of a policy that's not going as well as we thought it would go. It's an intentional act at this point. And I try to break it down into a way that I can put a mental image in my mind. But this level of trafficking that we've seen across the border, Literally, the United States has increased its population by 2% just since Biden took office, only on illegals. 2% of the population is now here illegally. And when you label it like that, it just takes on this kind of almost burdensome sense. But real quickly, Senator, we have about a minute and a half here, or 2 minutes maybe, and you pointed out so clearly in your comments last week that it's not just what it's doing to America. The humanitarian toll on the people that believe they've got an open door because they've been lured here with Biden's carrots is having an incredibly negative effect upon the humanitarian aspects of people trying to migrate to the United States.
I could not agree more. Listen, President Biden won't acknowledge the truth of what's happening at our border, but we know it. We know it's a humanitarian and a national security crisis. And I'll tell you who else knows the truth. The cartels and the coyotes know the truth because they are benefiting to the tune of billions of dollars. The moms and dads who have lost children to fentanyl poisoning, Phil, they know the truth. The girls and the women who have been abused by the cartels, they know the truth. They had to live the truth. And American people can see it. We can see the truth playing out in front of our eyes. And the truth is that we don't just have a crisis at our border, but we have a catastrophe with a humanitarian and a national security implications that are tremendous.
Well, Senator, I really appreciate you making some time. And y'all made time on short notice. I was just in touch with Sean Ross of your office just Friday, and here you are on Monday. And I thank you for that. And stay on top of this.
This is important.
Oh, it is.
We've got to keep talking about it. We've got to hold his feet to the fire on this. We do not have the majority in the Senate, but by gosh, we can be loud, we can be direct, and we can make sure that the American people hold President Biden accountable. That's what we must do.
All right. Senator Katie Britt, a member of our U.S. delegation, we appreciate your time, and we'll be in touch more on this as it goes along.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you. All right. Well, listen, first of all, I am just so glad to have she and Senator Tuberville have both been nailing this issue, like nailing it to the wall, and not just with rhetoric. They've been slamming the administration in committee hearings. And, you know, in terms of policy, you've got Tuberville out there who there's no generals getting promoted right now because he's put a block on all promotions for the time being because of abortion policies being put out by the DOD. I'm just telling you, folks, at this particular moment, we have the chair of the House Armed Services Committee is one of our congressmen, Mike Rogers. We have one of the major chairs of a subcommittee on appropriations is Robert Adderholt from here. And we got a member of the Freedom Caucus, Barry Moore. We've got, of course, the one of the leaders in the House is Gary Palmer. And then you've got, on top of that, you've got Dale Strong and Jerry Carl both making waves. And then you get into our Senate delegation. I'm just telling you, we're in a better, more vocal position right now than we've been as a state in quite some time, and I take heart in that. All right, listen, we're going to take a break right now. We'll come right back. We'll wrap up this border madness section here, and then going to the top of the hour, Twinkle Kavanaugh, president of the Alabama Public Service Commission, the group that does things like determining your rates for your power bill. Yeah, we're going to talk about that and ESG. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. And we are back, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right, saving the world one soundbite at a time. I got a caller on the line, Jeff Rowe from Indiana. How you doing, buddy?
I'm doing pretty good, Phil.
Good, man. What's on your mind?
Oh, yeah. Did Charlene tell you that I texted her a happy Mother's Day yesterday?
She did. She says, who is Jeff? Oh, wait, that's Jeff from Indiana. Says she was okay then.
Yeah. I told her that you all are empty nesters, but then she'll always have you to raise.
Yes, she does. I am her big child. That's right.
She'll never be completely childless.
Did y'all have a good weekend?
I had a real good weekend. Everything went pretty good, except for having to work Sundays, which I hate, but that's how it goes.
You drive on Sundays?
Oh, yeah, every Sunday.
I did not know that.
Sunday's my Monday.
Wow.
Yeah, it's not a good deal, but that's the way the ball bounces in this outfit.
Well, all right. Well, what's on your mind about the show today? What are you thinking?
Hey, with everybody coming here and proclaiming that they need sanctuary from all the oppressive places they're coming from, why don't we spring into action and go put down all these governments that's oppressing all these people and everything? I mean, we're helping Ukraine out so much and everything from trying to get them from being oppressed by Russia. Why don't we just go down and take over Nicaragua and all these South American countries where most of these people are coming from?
So you just basically want to make
money ahead.
You just want to go ahead and make Venezuela the 51st state, what you're telling me.
Well, we're getting their population just as well. I mean, if we're going to do it, we might as well get the fruits of the country, wouldn't you think?
Well, yeah, first of all, I don't think we want them. and secondly, you know what's crazy, too, about this thing about declaring asylum? And the Biden administration finally woke up, and they put back in place what's called Title 8. And it basically Title 8 requires that if you're going to claim asylum – but you pass through three other countries to do it, you have to go back to the very first one whose borders you crossed and declare it there. Because if you want asylum, what you're really saying is, I need help, I need out. Well, you don't pass through three other countries on the way to the only one you want to declare asylum in. It doesn't work that way.
Well, yeah, it does. I mean, all those countries are oppressive as well, Phil, don't you know? I mean, there's people coming from everywhere, so they're all oppressive places except for the United States, which is a racist, homophobic country, you know? I mean, that's why everybody's coming here for, apparently.
This is Mean Jeff today. I got Mean Jeff on the phone.
Oh, no, no, no. This is Jeff, the truthful Jeff, I think. Can you take the truth, man?
I don't know, man. You can't handle the truth. You know, I tell you.
Can't handle the truth.
It's unreal, man. But we're gonna watch over the coming days. I'm just glad that court, the attorney general from Florida, got that the mass releases that they were about to start doing enjoined. That slowed some things down. And then Texas is like, they're on it right now. Texas has got their own Texas Tactical Border Force, and they are actually physically stopping people from crossing over. And you can tell from the faces of the people who are coming across the Rio Grande, they're looking like they can't believe somebody's saying no because they were told it was an open door.
Well, the thing about it is, though, Phil, when did the Biden administration, or Biden cacristocracy, I'm sorry, ever follow the law? They haven't did it so far, so why should they start doing it now? They can just thumb their nose at these courts and everything because they have the Justice Department on their side, and they're the ones who enforce these laws. So
well,
you don't enforce laws, why would you follow any?
I think we got a ways to go on it, brother. But, hey, man, we're up against the break. You be safe on the road, all right?
Thank you, Phil. Have a good one.
See you, bud. All right. What an amazing audience we have, including people like Jeff from Indiana. All right, I got plenty of text messages. We'll get to them, but coming up next, we're switching gears, talking about ESG in your power bill. We'll have Twinkle Cavanaugh, president of the Alabama Public Service Commission, and we'll talk about it. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Listening live to Right Side Radio with Phil Williams. It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right.
Alabama's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio. Phil Williams here live in the Right Side Studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national, sometimes the international, covering down on all the issues. Like the dude just said, solid conservative and just plain right. Well, we are inexplicably already in hour number three. This day has flown by. Just finished our discussion with Senator Katie Britt regarding the state of our southern border, and we're switching gears right now. So I found an article just the other day, found this one on townhall.com. The piece came out just about last Wednesday. So you've heard me talk about ESG, environmental, social, and governance policies that really get away from corporations being profitable and drives them towards woke policies. Well, one of those is BlackRock, one of the largest portfolio managers in the world. BlackRock, as we find now, is going to the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission, FERC, basically the federal government's oversight of utilities, and getting authorization to buy up shares in public utility companies. Pray tell, why would they do this? Because they're going to be pushing woke climate change policies on our utility companies. Well, in Alabama, we have a thing called the Public Service Commission, and on that Public Service Commission, we have a president, a commissioner, who I've been a longtime friend with, Twinkle Cavanaugh. She has been around state politics as a public servant for many years, a very conservative individual. She was actually the first female ever elected to be chairman of the Alabama Republican Party, and she is the president of the PSC, our Public Service Commission, and she's on the phone right now. Twinkle Cavanaugh, how are you doing?
Well, thanks, Phil. I appreciate that wonderful introduction, and I appreciate the opportunity to be on your show today. But you ask a question during the introduction, why are they doing this? And I've been trying to preach this over and over again. It's for control, and it's for money. And if they can control our electricity companies, it will mean money for their pockets, because they don't care what things cost consumers. And they want to pass that money along to their pocketbook, and they want what they've invested in is all of this new green energy. It will never work at the rate it is right now. We could blanket our state in solar panels, and it would not produce enough baseload electricity for that cold winter morning that we had December 24th, 25th, 26th of this past year of 2002, or a really hot summer day like we're going to have this summer. We have got to have fossil fuels, but what they want to do is pull the rug out from under us. They want to control everything so that they make tons of money, the kind of money we can't even imagine, the kind of money they will make. There's nothing wrong with solar. There's nothing wrong with all types of electricity, but we can production, but we cannot in Alabama or really anywhere in the United States get rid of our fossil fuels like coal and natural gas. And especially not oil. Our entire world revolves around oil. And as I speak all across the state, I make the comment, did you get out of bed this morning and use soap in the shower? Byproduct of oil. Did you put in contact lenses or put your glasses on? They're made of plastic. Byproduct of oil. Did you get in your car? Did you get on the roads? Did you, you know, have a styrofoam coffee cup this morning? Whatever. Those are byproducts of oil. Everything. Every piece of machinery is, using oil in some capacity. That is what drives our, everything about our economy. And these folks want to put us out of business.
Well, I don't disagree with anything you just said. And let me say too that a lot of folks, there's two things a lot of folks don't realize. Most people think about the power company as being the one they get their bill from. So you may be an Alabama Power customer, you may be a TVA customer. But there's a lot of these smaller rural co-ops, the electric co-ops. There's other means of, and if these start getting bought up, it does do things to the overall portfolio management of our energy sources. But you're a part of the PSC, the Public Service Commission. And if you don't mind, for like maybe a minute or so, would you describe for the folks listening right now, because we have a huge audience, what the PSC is, what it does, why it's important? Just give us that real quick.
Absolutely. The PSC was actually started. Every state has something called the Public Service Commission. Some call it the Public Utility Commission. Some still call it the Railroad Commission. Not many that call it that anymore. But the commission in Alabama was started in the 1800s as our Railroad Commission. Somewhere in the early 30s, it was changed to the Public Service Commission, because what it became is a place, legislature wanted a place to have regulation or oversight over something that they had oversight over, but they didn't want to keep that oversight. They wanted someone that could concentrate on it. They would move it to the Public Service Commission. So at the commission, we do everything from regulating power, gas, water, wastewater, Uber and Lyft, all ride shares. We do all gas pipeline and safety in the state. We do railway safety and inspections in our state. And we also have real-time insurance for 18-wheelers. We regulate moving companies in our state. So anything that the legislature has basically regulatory or some kind of inspection authority over, that they want to move to somewhere that can actually have a staff to oversee it and focus on it, they put it the Public Service Commission. So we are elected statewide, but actually some of our duties encompass the entire state, and some, like, for instance, Alabama Power Company, not everyone uses it. Some people are on a co-op or a municipality or TVA, so there are a lot of different companies there.
All right, so perfect. So y'all are the agency then that would see the impacts firsthand, because when it comes to rates, y'all are also having oversight over issues related to rates. And I think you kind of touched on it. If BlackRock were to begin buying up shares in public utility companies, which they've been doing nationwide, if they were to, and pushing their ESG policies, the impact is expected to be something that could, you know, negatively impact our rates, because it costs more to go green, so to speak.
Let me also say, Phil, it's not just the ESG that I'm concerned about. It's also what they're calling DEI, which is the diversity and equity and inclusion policies.
Yeah.
What they want to do is they are asking FERC, which is a federal agency that is under the Department of Energy. And FERC basically does what we do on the federal level. In other words, if something is interstate, if it's one electricity company in one place selling electricity to another person in another state, if in a wholesale situation, if it's oil, if it's oversight on how big an electricity company gets, or how much electricity is, how much these asset companies are purchasing of the trading shop, which means the decision. They also have rules and regulations in place to protect consumers so that one company doesn't own an electricity company and get to make the decisions.
Right.
And what this would mean is we would have somebody in Manhattan telling us what to do in Alabama, and that is unacceptable. I mean, we cannot accept that. And what they are asking now, BlackRock is asking FERC to grant them a special exemption. And so they can purchase as much as they want. They can have an unlimited number of voting shares. But also, they don't want any oversight or approval from FERC on what they own and on what they purchase. So basically, Manhattan would be controlling everything that we do here in Alabama. And that is just flat wrong. And so I applaud our Attorney General for stepping in, because that's what he can do. He can step in and join the other attorneys generals around the country and file that lawsuit, or the ability to step into their decision with FERC. And I applaud him for doing that. Here at the commission, we are actually working on a letter in support of the attorney generals, and that'll go to FERC also. But I appreciate our Attorney General, Steve Marshall, doing that.
Well, I do too, and I'm glad to hear that you guys at the commission are keenly aware of all this. Are there any utilities in the state of Alabama in which BlackRock has recently invested in or tried to purchase up shares?
Well, you know, we don't control Southern Company. We don't have regulatory responsibility over Southern Company, and obviously Southern Company, whoever wants to buy their stock can. But my most recent search of Southern Company shows that BlackRock is their second largest shareholder.
Wow.
But it's still a small percentage. It is not anywhere near controlling.
And Southern Company is the parent company of Alabama Power.
Correct. And that is what FERC keeps from happening. FERC makes sure they're not allowed to purchase anymore. And what they are asking for now is that special exemption. And, you know, that's anti-consumer, anti-jobs, anti-free market. It's anti our local control, and it's definitely anti-Alabama. And so that's why we need to be on alert, because what I think they're trying to do is, while no one's watching, to come in and file for this special exemption. And it does not need to be given to them. You know, fighting environmentalists and fighting this woke ESG and DEI agenda is nothing new. I mean, we've been fighting here at the Public Service Commission for quite some time. And, you know, Phil, just recently, I'm a huge Ronald Reagan fan.
Yeah.
And recently, I was reading the original speech that he gave in 1964.
Yeah.
And it was in support of Barry Goldwater. And it said, you know, whether we believe in our self-government or whether we think we should abandon the American Revolution and confess that some little intellectual elite in our far distant capital can plan our lives better for us. Well, you could just substitute now instead of 1964, we're in 2023, but you could substitute a far distant capital for you know, New York City, because Manhattan will be controlling our electricity company if FERC allows this to go through, and it would be wrong. We don't need that in Alabama. Our goal is to make sure that we have affordable and reliable utilities for all Alabamians, whatever their power company is in their area in Alabama. It should not be controlled by someone in, you know, New York City and Manhattan.
Yeah, I totally agree. Well,
go ahead.
And Commissioner, I was going to say we are up against the break, but I want to thank you for coming on, because you just shed some clarity on there. I think a lot of folks don't realize the service that y'all provide at the Public Service Commission. But this situation is not going away soon, and I'm glad to hear the PSC is in support of the AG's efforts to fight back on ESG. Acronyms here. Well, listen.
Absolutely. And I'd love to come back and talk with you at another time, because I will tell you, what's going on now with the energy sector affects everyone's life, everyone's pocketbook. President Biden has been a disaster, and we have got to fight. We've got to keep that fight going. And I appreciate what you're doing, Phil.
Well, thank you. Commissioner Twinkle Kavanaugh, president of the Public Service Commission of Alabama. Thanks for your time today, and stay in the fight.
Thank you.
All right. Take care. All right. Ran a little long, Boomer, but it was worth it. So go ahead and take us to the break, brother, and we'll do that right now. We'll come right back, and I'll talk a little bit more about this very topic, because, folks, I'm telling you, they're coming after everything in the world. I mean, not only do they not want you to have a gas stove, now they want to regulate the company that would have fed the gas to your gas stove. It's unbelievable, but it's also to be expected at the same time. All right, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. We will be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. Great discussion right there. By the way, you know what? Even before I got elected to the Alabama legislature, I don't think I was really aware of the Public Service Commission and what they do. Once I got down to Montgomery, I was like, wow. I think we put more stuff on their plate while I was there, as a matter of fact. But yeah, you need to know that organization, they have a key role in doing things like fighting back against, you know, major rate increases, or pushing back against woke policies that could have impacts on your rates, and then all the other things she said that they cover too. It's amazing. Hey, by the way, Boomer had a suggestion.
I did.
You did.
I had a suggestion for you ruffians.
Because we have t-shirts, right?
We do.
And we haven't given
any away lately.
We haven't. It's time, I think.
I believe it is.
Which, by the way, full credit, the softy over here is the one giving the t-shirts away. I wanted to keep them. I wanted to keep them all. I like keep having them on the shelf. I mean, why give them away, right? No, Boomer's like, we could do a t-shirt thing. So I think you're right. I think it's time.
I think we should.
Okay.
Maybe a little later.
I'm going to be coming up with a question here momentarily.
Okay.
Like, before we go to the half-hour break, I'm going to ask a question. Folks, the text line is 833-687-4448. That's 833-68-RIGHT. And what I'm going to ask you is I'm going to ask a question, ask you to text in your answers. Boomer and I are going to read what we think the best answers are, and we'll pick a couple, and they're T-shirt answers.
Yes.
Is that good?
I like that idea.
Okay.
I like it. And then we'll send them a T-shirt.
All right. I like it. I'm happy. This is making me happy. All right. After a day of talking about our southern border and, you know, and ESG and our power bills and everything else.
Is it the Durham?
Oh, yeah, the Durham investigation. I mean, thank you very much.
So that
we need a happy.
We need a happy.
This is what Charlene calls, by the way. You just needed a happy.
We need a happy.
That's right. Everybody needs a happy. So we'll start.
What a way to start off the week.
That's right. We're gonna end the Monday show. The Monday show of all shows. It's not we don't save the best stuff for Friday.
No, Monday.
Gosh, friggin' happy.
Make you happy the rest of the week.
You'll be happy
by Friday. You may be wearing your shirt.
It's you know what, and you'll be happy when you do.
Exactly.
Don't you not be happy. We have ways of making you happy. All right, so here's the question. You want to text in your answer to it? Here's the question. Text it in. Don't call it in. Text it in. 833.
Yeah, text it in, please.
833-687-4448. Tell us who you are, where you're from. And the question is this. Military operations always have a name. Like right now, Texas already has its Operation Lone Star. They're taking care of their southern border. If we were to really go after trying to stop the southern border, what name would we give it? Operation what? And it's and by the way, some of y'all are some extremely funny people. Find me a good one. Like, I don't know. I'm thinking about Operation, I don't know. I'm not even going to try and guess. But yeah, what would you name the operation to try and stop the madness at the southern border? We're going to read these out loud. And find the ones that we think are the best. And we got Right Side Ruffian T-shirts to go out to the winners. So you got time. We're going to take a break. 833-68-RIGHT. That's 833-687-4448. We'll come back from the break, and we'll start reading text messages because, I can see they're already coming in. So all right. Operation what? What do we name it? When we go after it, when we take back our southern border, what's the mission name? Operation blank. Fill in the blank. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. We'll be right back. Hey, all you Right Side Ruffians out there, you are listening to Right Side Radio, solid conservative, just plain right.
All right.
All right. And we are back, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. Covering down on some major ground across the northern half of the most beautiful state in the nation, that'd be Alabama. I'm talking about this show sends its signal way on down south of Birmingham, up north of Huntsville, Tuscaloosa, back to Gadsden, parts of Georgia, Tennessee, Mississippi, thrown in just for good measure. All right, hey, listen, before we go any further, I got to tell you the Elm Foundation. By the way, I suspect, based on scheduling we had today, that the folks from the Elm Foundation will be here on the show with us very soon. But the Elm Foundation, out of Huntsville, they're a 501c3. Elm, E-L-M, stands for Expect Little Miracles. Doing some really cool stuff to help people get back into life, if you know what I mean. Like getting off the streets, getting their lives back into a sense of order, helping them to find their self-worth, but at the same time, helping them also to find job skills and putting it all into effect without just like being the government, just throwing money at it. Because what they're doing is they're walking with people through all of this. It's an amazing thing. The Elm Foundation, their website is ELMHSV, as in Elm Huntsville, ELMHSV.org. That's elmhsv.org. And I got to tell you, too, one of the cool things about them is if you were to donate a dollar to them even, every dollar you donate goes to programs because they have a single source benefactor who decided to cover all of their administrative costs so everything else they do can be taken care of with program only. That's just huge, man. As somebody who's run a 501, I can just tell you that's just huge. So, yeah, the Elm Foundation, ELMHSV.org. Check them out and tell them you heard about it on Right Side Radio. And the text lines have gone bananas, Boomer.
Like it's going to be hard to keep up.
Wait, you got to have the sound effect. Is this where I say, Boomer, the text lines have blown up? There you go. All right. I don't even know where. How do I? Good gosh, man. I bet we've got 100 texts. All right, so I'm going to start with one. I'm just going to pick one. In fact, it's Jeff from Indiana. He says, Operation Get Off My Yard. we have a new texter who didn't give us their name. Says, Operation Trump Dump. You got to tell us who you are. The Operation Trump Dump.
Yeah.
We'll give it one more, and I'll let you jump in, too. Britt from Athens says, Operation Save the Country. There you go. That's pretty descriptive.
That's a good one. All right. A no-namer. Last four digits, 6291, we got Operation Fire Biden. And then Roger from Ardmore, Alabama. Operation Bag'em and Tag'em.
No, I don't think we
we can't do that.
We can't do that one. That's Operation Bag'em and Tag'em. Oh my gosh.
Oh man. All right. And then another no namer.
It's brand new actually. I see that just put the name on it. Dylan from
Danville. Oh yeah, there we go. Dylan from Danville, Alabama. Border Hopper. Operation Border Hopper.
Operation Border Hopper.
I like that one.
It could have like a rabbit. I could
it would have a rabbit. Maybe a
Scott from Somerville, I'm just not sure I want to read yours out, brother. I'm just pretty sure I don't want to read yours out. Brian from Somerville, Operation Hot Sauce. Okay, here you go. Shelton from Harvest, Operation... He's like got all the words. Operation Send Biden and Kamala Across the Border.
Is that Shelton?
Shelton from Harvest.
All right.
Oh, man, right. I keep dropping in. I keep losing my place.
What about... Let's see here. We got
Mike from Rainbow City.
Right? Yeah, Mike from Rainbow City. He said Operation We the People.
Oh, that's pretty good.
Yes.
Yeah, write that one down. Uh-huh. Operation. Well, all right. So Mike from Rainbow City, you're in the running. Operation We the People.
And then we got Devin from Brownsboro, Alabama.
Yeah.
Operation Ruffian Station to Save the Nation.
Ooh. He threw in the ruffian. See, he was pandering to us right there.
He was.
All these right side ruffians, and Devin thought, I'm going to use the word ruffian and they'll like mine. He's right. Devin from Brownsboro. Yeah. John from Brownsboro also said Operation Yellowhammer. You ought to bring the hammer. How about that? Bring the Yellowhammer.
Mm-hmm.
David from Taft, Tennessee. Says Operation Pink Floyd as we are putting another brick in the wall. See what he did there? See what he did there? That was good. That was. I knew some of these folks would have some pretty creative stuff. Got a brand new no-namer, Operation Rhino. I guess they're... Okay. You pick one. Allie from Athens is next.
Oh, yeah, Allie. Oh.
She had one, Operation Concertina.
It was just up a little further. Concertina, right?
Yeah, Concertina Wire is what you have. Grab the next one, man.
All right, JT from Lacey Springs. Operation 180, as in degrees.
Like Operation, turn them around.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
I like that one. Yeah,
That's good. Another new no-namer, somebody new in the system didn't tell us their name, Operation Red Light, as in all stop. See?
That's there you go.
That's good. Roberta from Coleman says, Operation Nacho Fast. Write that one down.
Okay.
All right. So, hey, so far you're in the running, Roberta from Coleman, brand new in the system. Haven't even got you plugged in yet. I like Operation Nacho Fast.
Nacho Fast.
go ahead and just, Roberta from Coleman, go ahead and send us your address because that may be a winner. I don't know.
That was good.
That was good.
Let's see. Operation Mark from Owens Crossroads. Yeah. Operation Rainbows and Butterflies.
No, you read it wrong. The first part.
Oh, I didn't even see the first part of it.
Operation Don't Tread on Me, as opposed to Operation Rainbows and Butterflies.
It was two texts. I only read the bottom one.
Oh God, more are dropping in. I can't keep up. What we got here? This is, by the way, in case y'all are like just tuning in, you're wondering what the heck is happening on Right Side Radio. I made the mistake of asking a question. But the question was, we just talked about the border madness. We had Senator Katie Britt on the show a little while ago. And so the question is, and like right now, Operation Lone Star is what Texas has got in place. And they're doing a great job, by the way, as far as a state can do on its border. And so if we were to go say, we're taking our southern border back, we're ending the chaos, What operational name would you give it? So far, I'd say that Operation Nacho Fast is probably my favorite.
That may be my favorite.
Operation Remember the Alamo. That was next. So we're By the way, this is a no-namer. You got to tell us who you are and where you're from.
Yeah, if you've already texted in, go on and text in your name, too. That would be great. Name and where you're from. First name and where you're from.
All right. Stan from Grant. Is it Stan and Grant from Alabama, or does Stan from Grant, Alabama? Anyway, it says, Operation Gringo gonna get you. I don't know. Is that? Anyway, okay.
Operation Save America.
Operation Save America. That mm-hmm. was, Patra
from Arab. From Arab.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Operation Reverse the Chaos. Yeah, TL from Huntsville. That just kind of says it all, doesn't it?
Yes.
What else we got? Steve from Decatur, brand new in the system. I got a new one you got to plug in there. You got to catch up on some of these.
I got a lot to plug in. It's going to be a minute.
Operation Chihuahua Don.
That's good. What about Wayne from Southside?
Wait, I got to write down Operation Chihuahua Don.
Operation Seal the Leak.
Seal the Leak. Oh, yes. That's good. Hey, write down Operation Chihuahua Don. And by the way, you that sent in Operation Chihuahua Don, tell us who you are and where you're from. Wayne from Southside, did you already read that one? Yeah, Seal the Leak. You said that
Seal
one.
Seal the Leak.
Where are we at? Scott from Huntsville. His second. Oh, he had two entries. First one was Operation Tequila Sunrise.
Okay.
It's even got its own theme song.
It does have the theme song.
I like this. But then he also had his second was Seven Spanish Angels by Ray Charles. He's got the musical thing going. So, Scott, write that one down. Scott from Huntsville's in the running with Operation Tequila Sunrise. So we got Nacho Don and Tequila Sunrise in the running here.
Nice.
Raven from Russell. Yeah, what you got?
He had two of them. Operation Blockhouse.
Wow.
And Operation Iron Eagle.
Oh, see, he went straight to like the 80s Every Kid Wants to Be a Hero movie, Operation Iron Eagle. There you go. Greg from Athens, the current administration's operation, I don't know. another brand new texter, it says John from Harvest, actually. I can't tell what he's saying to me.
Just like what happens when you eat one, we need to stop up the southern border. Let's call
Oh my gosh, you people are... Y'all are something else. Where's my next one? Golly, Boomer, the number of new texters here. Brand new texter, David from Madison, Operation SimpliSafe.
Yes.
Joe from Elkmont, Operation Right Side, Wrong Side.
they're flooding in.
Robbie from Oneonta, Operation Mexican Freeze. golly, Bob, what else we got here? Brian, brand new from Brian from Decatur, Operation Remember the Alamo. There you go. Mm-hmm. Dave from Madison, Operation Slam the Door. That's not bad.
That's not bad.
Slam the Door. By the way, those are new textures.
They're all new. I would say half of these have been all new textures.
This is what happens when you dare to ask a question. keep going, buddy. What you got?
Nick from Altoona.
Yeah.
Operation Revenge, the Revenge of the Alamo.
Revenge of the Alamo. Mm-hmm. It's not just Operation. Right. Remember, it's Revenge of the Alamo. Getting busy. All right, Chris from Huntsville says, Operation, you must be this tall to enter, like Disney does. Okay. Louis from Arab says, Operation Nacho Cheese. Yeah, this is Nacho Cheese.
Let's see here.
Oh, my gosh. All right. Yeah. Shane from Athens. That's where we're at. Yep. Shane from Athens. Operation We... I don't know what that means. We see... Oh, Operation We See You, as in see.
See.
Yes. Yeah.
See. Okay. We see you. Yeah.
Operation Crimson Tide, as in best defensive line in the country. That's John from Brownsboro. This is like it's stuck in our third entry. What else you got, dude?
Let's see.
Hey, Roberta from Coleman gave us her name and address. You see
That's
it on there?
Perfect. Yep.
All right. Right now, that is so. Operation Nacho Fast is my favorite so far. What do we got here?
What Operation Nacho Fast.
This is Robin from Tupelo. Operation Gringo Slingo. This is going bananas.
It's going crazy.
Well, we're up against a break, brother. You know. So take a break right now before we lose our advertising opportunities because we're so busy reading some of these crazy answers. Y'all keep texting. If you were to go say, hey, let's do a mission to take back our border, what operational name would you give it? So far, we got some great ones. Operation Nacho Cheese, Operation Tequila Sunrise.
I like that. That was a good one.
Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, with the best audience in the world. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back. yeah. And we are back, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid and conservative and just plain right, making it cool to be a conservative. So, hey, before I go any further, I got to tell you, ZLA Solutions, they've been with us since this show started, man. ZLA Solutions, they are just epic good at getting people and jobs together. So if you're looking for a job yourself, you can go to their website, ZLAUSA.com. They got tons of jobs posted all over North Alabama and beyond. And if you, so basically you want a job, they may have one for you. But here's the deal. One of their things they pride themselves on is the ability to help employers find the staffing they need. So yeah, I mean, it can be temporary or direct hire. It can be the folks who have the very specialized niche skills and you only need a couple of them, or you might need a whole shift full of people. It doesn't matter. They're helping folks in the service industry. They're helping folks in the automotive and technology industries. They got white-collar positions right now, high-tech positions up in at Redstone Arsenal. They got a lot of stuff going on, and they are good at what they do. They can come in and do the recruiting, the background checks, the drug testing for you, find you the folks you need. I always say blue-collar, white-collar, no-collar, it don't matter. So just check them out. ZLA Solutions at ZLAUSA.com. I know these folks personally. They are good at what they do. ZLA Solutions at ZLAUSA.com. Boomer, I cannot keep up with the text messages. It went bananas, man.
Oh, no, there's no way to keep up with it. zero way.
Let's just pick a few. So the last one I left off with Steve from Huntsville. He says, Operation Fix Your Own House.
That's my goodness.
somebody who brand new in the system, Anthony from Pinson.
Yeah.
Operation Maybe Tomorrow.
Maybe Tomorrow.
And he also had Operation Road Closed, which is not bad.
That is not bad at all.
You pick one. What you got?
We got Tim from, is it Hebron?
Mount Hebron, yeah.
Mount Hebron. All right. Operation Cross That Line and meet your maker. Oh, man.
Barry from Athens says, Operation Chupacabra. You don't want to meet the Chupacabra.
Nope.
That's not good for you. All right.
Brian from Somerville.
Yeah.
Operation Border Defense.
He's laying it on. James from Harvest, Operation Burrito Goo. I don't know what that means. I'm not sure I want to know.
Terry from Hartsell, Alabama, Operation Slam the Door.
Slam the Door. And another one she has, Terry, yeah. Operation No Vacancy. Steven from Gunnersville, Operation Backdoor Burrito. Okay. Oh my gosh. Philip from Huntsville. Just
oh, there it
in.
Is. Yeah, up he's at got, the top, yeah.
First he's got Operation Cinco de Mayo, and then he changes it to Operation Bino. So,
or Bueno.
Is it Bino or Bueno?
I don't know.
Either one. Brand new texture again. Sarah from Coleman, Operation Adios Amigos. There you go. We got to keep track of the time because we got to announce a winner.
I would say we need to announce it in just a minute.
About a minute? Okay.
About a minute.
Oh, gosh.
But, we got 3 minutes left.
All right. So those of y'all that still are texting in, just know that we're
did you see Joe from Athens?
Yes, I did. Operation Constipation. All right. Gotcha. In other words, we're stopping things up. Get it? Yeah, constipation or stopping things up. That's not bad when you think about it. Okay. Golly, bum. Brand new texture again. Tammy from Green Hill. Operation Fire Biden. That's like the third one we've had with that one.
That is. Yeah.
Scott from Decatur. Operation Sovereignty Reclamation. I like it.
Oh, man. I can't.
Lee from Huntsville, Operation Montezuma's Revenge. We want to stop things up, not speed them up. Gosh, what else we got here? Frank from Madison, Operation Blackjack, as in Pershing, who Pershing who led the defense of our border back in the day with the 167th Infantry and all that,
right.
That I talked about.
Brian from Huntsville.
Yeah.
Operation Run from the Border.
Dylan, brand new texter. Dylan from Danville. Operation Border Hopper. There you go.
Yes.
It's TL from Huntsville wanted to know he votes for Operation Nacho Fast.
Nacho Fast. I like that one.
I do too. And kind of in that vein. Scott from Athens. Operation Nacho Country.
Nacho Country.
It's Nacho Country. wow, this has been awesome. All right, I tell you what, we got to call it.
We need to call it.
I think we picked three, didn't we?
We picked three.
All right. What you got?
We got, all right. So, Roberta from Coleman.
Roberta from Coleman. Absolutely. Brand new texture and winning a t-shirt on day one.
That's right.
She had
Nacho Fast.
Operation Nacho Fast.
Operation Nacho Fast.
You there, Nacho Fast. All right.
All right. We got Steve from Decatur, brand new texter. That was Chihuahua Don.
Operation Chihuahua Don. And then what was the last one?
And then Scott from Huntsville.
Yeah.
Tequila Sunrise.
Tequila Sunrise.
Operation Tequila
with
Sunrise.
With its own theme song.
And you know what? I'm sure there's a lot more in there that we would love because we could not get to every single one.
I mean, we're still sorry. I'm still looking. They're still coming in.
They're still coming in.
It's unbelievable. All right. Hey,
we'll have
listen.
To do another one of these soon.
So Roberta from Coleman, Scott from Huntsville.
Yes. Scott from Huntsville, Steve from Decatur, Roberta from Coleman.
All right. So Boomer's going to be reaching out to you to get your shirt size and your address. We got a Right Side Ruffian t-shirt for each of the three of you. We were going to do two, but those were three good ones. And there were so many more. You know what? We're probably going to find three more by tomorrow that we're going to.
There's a couple more I already see.
Golly, what an amazing show. You got to laugh, though. You know what? Yes. You got to laugh. Otherwise, you'd just be sitting around ruminating and crying in your beer. We're not going to have it.
Exactly.
All right, folks. Listen, it's been a great show. We are going to do all that we can on this show every single day to do what I call the four E's. We're going to educate, enlighten, empower, and entertain you on what it means to walk as a conservative in today's world. And yeah, no fooling. Sometimes you got to find ways to laugh, but you also can't lose sight of the mission. Mm. So, you guys keep doing what you're doing, you bunch of Right Side Ruffians. We appreciate y'all being, it's the only reason why we do this. Boomer and I got other stuff in life we could be doing, but yeah, this is, you know, when you have an opportunity to truly get out there and impact culture, we're told by all our radio stations, we're talking to over 30,000 people a week. Daggum. How do you argue with an opportunity like that? Especially when you got people like y'all. All right, listen, Boomer and I are back here tomorrow at 2, and if you are here with us then, we're going to have a good time. All right, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be back tomorrow.